There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Urban Meyer will retire as coach of Ohio State after their game in the Rose Bowl.
There were several people close to the program that felt like that would be his last game at the Horseshoe. When you see him on the sidelines in the Maryland game, the most obvious example, but there were several others this year, he appeared to be anguished.
He wasn't himself this season. He wasn't right. He only knows how to do things one way, and it's full throttle.
He is somebody who internalizes stress like no other and who truly uses that to fuel him. I think that's a big part of who he always has been as a coach.
He is a successful coach. Some people may not like his methods or some of the things that have happened, obviously, while he was coaching. He wins, and he has your team in it. Year after year after year.
Is Urban Meyer ever going to coach again? I mean, we're talking about one of the greatest coaches in college football history. And 3 national championships, 2 at Florida, obviously 1 at Ohio State.
He will not be back in coaching. If he is, I will be shocked. He's an Ohio State guy to his core. His legacy to him is everything.
College football, the ultimate reality show. Welcome into College Football Live. I'm Peter Burns, joined alongside Trevor Maddich and Greg McElroy. Gentlemen, kind of crazy news that some of us saw, some of us didn't, but everybody talked about. So, Trevor, let's start here. Had these off-the-field allegations not happened in 2018, would Urban Meyer be coaching next year?
Yes. Unless his health situation was something that was exacerbated by the stress from the off-the-field accusations. We talk about this cyst that's on his brain. If that stress made that worse, then yeah, you could draw a direct line between the circumstances of this offseason to now. But if that didn't make it worse, and if the situation were such that his health was fine, I think that he would be coaching next year.
Y'all are going to find this shocking. I'm not a doctor, but I do know that cyst and the stress go hand in hand. They're correlated. So when visiting, we actually called that Maryland game, and when talking to people around the program, Urban Meyer actually had to figure out ways to calm himself down when he felt as though that stress was starting to amplify. So like what you just described, Trev, the cyst and the stress, they go hand in hand. And the stress that was caused by everything that surrounded Zach Smith and him not handling that appropriately and the suspension and the backlash and the way he's kind of been, his name has been dragged through the mud in the court of public opinion, I think all those things really weighed on him very heavily, which in turn led to him probably stepping away a little sooner than most of us would have predicted.
So, Greg, he ends up taking a step back, and now the natural question was, will he ever be back again in coaching? Here's what Coach Meyer had to say about that.
Well, it's a complicated question, and I'll try to answer it the best I can, is that this is where I grew up. It's not healthy, but I came to work every day with fear of letting people like Archie Griffin and my great state of Ohio, our great state of Ohio, and this incredible university down, because this is home. I'm a graduate of Ohio State.
Urban, as you sit here now, do you believe you will not coach again?
I believe I will not coach again.
Are you fairly certain?
Certain, yes.
McElroy, you taking that fairly certain thing to the bank there? I mean, will the Rose Bowl truly be Urban Meyer's last game as a collegiate head coach?
Yeah, if you forced me to go one direction or the other, I'd say no. I really believe he'll be back. It might be 5 years from now. It could be 2 years from now. Some people have said 2020. I don't know if I buy that. But he's not going to come back for just any job. I mean, it's going to have to come back for a job that rivals that of Ohio State. And there's not many out there like that. So it would require probably something that he couldn't plan or expect. But if one of those top 3, top 4 jobs comes available, whether it's in the SEC or somewhere else, I wouldn't be shocked to see him hop back in. He is only 54 after all and still has a few pages I'm sure he'd like to turn.
I agree, but I think a lot of it also has to do with how much of his need for the competitive fire can be assuaged in a job that he might be doing at Ohio State or in media. When you and I retired from football, the thing that we missed the most is one of the things that Urban Meyer said he would miss the most, and that's to be around the guys and it's the competition. Yeah. And those two things are actual honest-to-goodness drugs when it comes to the effect that it has on you. The guys that really struggle retire from football, coaching, or playing, and then are separated from the game. But Urban Meyer will still be a part of Ohio State. He'll interact with the players and mentor them. He'll be a part of what's happening there. If he goes into media, he'll also be a part of the game. He'll be important, and the game will still be important to him from the inside, not the outside. If he could get enough there, he might not go back to coaching, because then he'll get the good parts of it without having to go through the stress and the negative parts. But I think a lot of that has to do with how much of the interaction and how much of the competition he can absorb from the outside.
Well, Ohio State Buckeye fans are going to have to absorb their new head coach, that is Ryan Day. But they do know a little bit about Coach Day. Of course, he coached the Buckeyes for those three games earlier this season. Greg, let's start with you here. When you look at him, no coaching experience for the whole season, but you saw him earlier in the year. How big of a grace period does he have in year one as the official head coach of the Buckeyes?
Yeah, zero grace period. I mean, this is Ohio State. They have national championship aspirations. And my tune has kind of changed on this. I used to be one of those guys that was like, all right, you go from Power 5 coordinator to Group of 5 head coach, and then you get your Power 5 head job. But my tune has changed a lot after watching the success that Kirby Smart has had at Georgia and Lincoln Riley has had at Oklahoma. My time with Ryan Day has been spectacular. The guy's charismatic. He's a guy that you naturally gravitate to and did a remarkable job under very difficult circumstances throughout fall camp and in the first 3 weeks of the season when Urban Meyer was suspended. He kept that team together, kept them fighting, and kept them moving in the right direction. So if he can ace that test, I would imagine he can probably do an awful lot with this program in the years to come. I'm excited to see what he does with it.
Well, everything is set up to benefit him. We've heard the term, it's hard to turn around a battleship, right? Well, normally a coaching job at a place like this comes open because that battleship needs turning. Something's wrong, the coach gets fired. In this case, they're a 12-1 Big Ten champion going to the Rose Bowl. Nothing's broken. This thing needs to continue on like it is. And so he can step in with an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator, if he retains them both, who are former head coaches who can help them with the nuances of those responsibilities. And then all he has to do is maintain the recruiting cycle, maintain the culture that gets the players to do the right things in the right ways. It's already there. It ain't broke. Don't fix it. Now, down the road, he will adjust this program to fit him. He will put his stamp on it. Yeah. But there's no need to do it right now.
They open up that next season against FAU, Cincinnati, Indiana, then Miami of Ohio. Fairly easy opportunities for Coach Day going forward. All right, we've got a new offensive coordinator at Southern Cal. That is Cliff Kingsbury. Trevor, are you shocked that he decided to stay in the collegiate game as an OC when possibly go to the NFL in some capacity?
No, this shows he is as brilliant as he is handsome. By going to USC, he inherits a young quarterback in JT Daniels with a stable of outstanding young receivers. He will hit the ground running, and he will light up scoreboards as the coordinator of USC. Had he gone directly to the NFL, he stood the chance of failure, or a better chance of failing there, and he would have then failed as a head coach, and then failed as a coordinator in the league, and then his brand is damaged. Now he gets to go straight back into college where he is at his best with a group of people that will help them excel immediately, and all those other goals are there for him down the road.
Yeah, the problem with being an offensive coordinator in the NFL is you are tied directly to your quarterback. If your quarterback stinks, so do you. That's the way things kind of work. And it's kind of it's a roll of the dice if you go to that level. The little bird told me that Cliff Kingsbury had a major interest in USC when that job came open a few years ago. At that point, they weren't really interested in him. They didn't feel as though he had done enough as a head coach. But now he gets to go to a place that he clearly looks at and feels as though it's a wonderful opportunity. I mean, SC is just waiting to take the next step, to go to the next level. Yeah, they've won a Rose Bowl. Yes, they've won a Pac-12 championship. But this is a program that's been lying dormant for quite some time now. With Cliff Kingsbury and a forward-thinking, innovative offensive mind kind of running that offensive side of the football, they might take to new heights with the talent that he has to work with.
Well, and there's no doubt, too, if it doesn't work out for him at Southern Cal, he can be a stunt double for Ryan Gosling, right? It's not the first time the joke has been made.
That's a good point.
I mean, being serious.
Big dollars for that, yes.
Right. Mattich, have you ever seen those two guys in the same place at the same time, especially when they have sunglasses on?
You know, I have not, but it's also fair that I have not seen those guys and Greg McElroy in the same place at the same time. I'm thinking all three of those might be the same guy.
Yeah. I think it's really good that Gosling on the picture right there, he got that suit out of Trev's wardrobe. That's right out of Trev's wardrobe, that lime green with a little gold undertone. Well done.
Painted on, that's me.
The fact that you just compared Ryan Gosling and Greg McElroy's look made me throw up a little in my mouth. All right, gentlemen, let's move on to some of the coaching changes in the roster. Jim McElwain, he's going to Central Michigan. Will Healy up at Charlotte 49ers. Mike Houston almost was over at the 49ers. He decided to take the East Carolina job. Mike Locksley over at Maryland. Matt Wells, Texas Tech. And Scott Satterfield goes from App State to Louisville. Greg, let's start with you. Favorite one of the new hires so far this season?
Well, I have two, but I'll leave the other one for Trev. I'm going to go with Matt Wells. I am just so enthralled with this hire for Texas Tech. Matt Wells is a guy from Utah State that has really a good, solid knowledge of both sides of the football. He knows how to recruit a quarterback. Jordan Love at Utah State's one of the best, not just in the Group of Five, but in all of college football. And he went to high school in Tulsa. So he is connected to that region of the country. He's going to be able to access high schools and access recruits that probably wouldn't necessarily have had access to if they had gone in a different direction. So I'm very excited about this hire to see what he can do in Lubbock.
Well, Greg, then we agree on Mike Locksley at Maryland. He also has deep ties to that area. He is a former coach there, and former Maryland players were lobbying to get him there. That's important because that's a support base that he'll need. Also keep this in mind that DJ Durkin, the former coach, had done a great job of opening the pipeline to some of the high school powerhouses in that area like DeMatha and others. And Locksley is the kind of recruiter that can continue that. If they can keep the best players home, Maryland will rise up that Big Ten roster.
Yeah, and now Nick Saban will have his 45th different offensive coordinator in the last 4 years, I believe, when he replaces him. I'm going to throw one in here. I'm going with the Doogie Howser of college football. That's Will Healy, the babyface guy, right? 33 years old.
Yeah.
At one point, Austin Peay was 1-45. In 2 years, he was the FCS Coach of the Year. He got him winning 8 games. He goes to Charlotte. That's a new program. And Trevor, I think it's very important when these athletic directors, Mike Hill's over there, they give new guys an opportunity to take it to the next level versus kind of a retread that we've seen in college football.
Because we've got energy. And really, programs that have struggled like that, they need energy. They need fans, people that would buy tickets, people that would donate money to be excited about it. When you've got a young, fresh, new face, people get excited.
We're excited about that. We are excited about a lot more college football live coming up, including, all right, here we're rolling with it. Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, yes, they will yell at each other, and it has something to do with Justin Herbert and Kyler Murray talking baseball, huh? And former Clemson Kelly Bryant, his stats stand out, announcing he'll be transferring to Missouri next year. Find out why Greg McElroy was shocked when we return.
Win, 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 win.
Welcome back to College Football Live. Before you know it, it's NFL draft time. Here are the current top five prospects, according to Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay. Both have Nick Bosa at the top of that list. And after that, things differ a little bit, but all defensive players in the top five. I said Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay, and boom, here they are, live in living color right in front of me. All right, gentlemen, we go back last year. It was Josh Rosen. It was Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, the year of the QB. Mel, what is this year's draft's trend going to be?
I mean, defense, Peter, and we talked about Todd and I back to even before the draft last year about what this draft would be like. Defense, defense, defense. 19 of the top 25 players right now are defensive players on the big board. Defensive linemen dominate. 22 defensive linemen, either defensive linemen or front seven performers, edge guys. 22 combined with late, either first up to early second round grades, Peter. If you're a fantasy leaguer, you want a lot of scoring. This draft will hurt scoring. It'll hurt fantasy leaguers. It's going to be getting back to the kind of football we love.
You know what? And the other thing is the quarterback position is going to be really interesting. We've got a bunch of underclassmen. We've got to see which guys are going to come out. Is Justin Herbert going to be part of this class? Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State, is he going to be part of this class? And then there's a lot of depth behind that initial group with guys like Will Grier, who carried West Virginia this year, Drew Locke, who finished really strong in Missouri. There's just a lot of guys in that day two range, but not a lot of guys that you feel great about putting the stamp for a top 10 pick.
Yeah, kind of a weird list when you look at all the QBs that are going to be involved in this year's draft. So, Todd, let's start there. How in the world do you rank these guys when you're talking about Herbert, when you're talking about Dwayne Haskins, Daniel Jones out of Duke?
I still have so much more tape to do. But from what I've seen so far, I think Justin Herbert clearly has the skill set to be a good starter in the NFL in terms of the physical tools. But he also clearly has some room for improvement when it comes to consistency. He's been inconsistent with his mechanics and his accuracy, occasionally with his decision making. Dwayne Haskins did not play well against Penn State in the tape that I studied, but since then he's played really well and he carried Ohio State. So I think those are going to be the top two that we talk about. And then after that, you're looking at, again, a lot of the day two guys from Jones, Greer, Locke, Stidham, and maybe one or two other guys in that second, third round range.
Well, I'm locked in the room, Peter, watching tape. He's out on the sidelines with his 15 minutes of fame every Saturday.
Some of us are working for a living,
Mel. Now he's got catching up to do. Now he's got to go back to the drawing board and start looking at these guys. I've been looking back since September. I'll help you out, Todd. Dwayne Haskins is going in the top five, maybe number one overall. Justin Herbert could go back to Oregon. I was underwhelmed with his performance this year. He did not build on the strong performance last year. So right now he's allowed Haskins to maybe jump over him. And I know you don't like him yet, but you will, I think, down the road, is Daniel Jones out of Duke. He's got the size. He's got the compact release. He can manipulate in the pocket, maneuver in the pocket.
I like him, Kuiper. I like him. I just didn't.
You were just yelling at me this morning that I had him too high.
The Kuiper splash play of putting him in the top 25. He's on my big board. It's the Kuiper big board.
Where's he going to end up on the McShay big board come
he's
April?
He's probably going to be in the second, third round range.
Don't box yourself into a corner now, Todd.
Oh, yeah. Like you guys both talking about drafts months before. I've never done that before. By the way,
so we really
Todd,
define our opinions this early. We're
I'll
crazy,
talk my way
right,
out
Peter?
Of it if I need to.
Yeah. Todd, your tan looks a whole lot better than Mel Kiper's tan. We'll put it that way. All right, Mel, you didn't say one name. You didn't say the $5 million name, Kyler Murray. Where are you sitting at with Kyler Murray? Where does he fall into this draft? Does he even get drafted?
I don't think he's going to wind up getting drafted because I think everyone knows that his intention is to go play baseball. And every scout I've talked to has said, you know, I'm watching him. You can't not watch him. It obviously jumps out on tape, but I'm not doing all the deep dive work in terms of investigations and background and everything else because he's either going to go back to Oklahoma for a year or he's going to play Major League Baseball. And he's made it very clear he's not going back to Oklahoma next year. So you have to assume that he's going to play Major League Baseball. And listen, I wish him the best of luck, and I probably would tell my son to do the same thing if he had that kind of skill, although no McShay would ever have that kind of skill. But when you look at it, I think baseball makes the most sense because of the longevity and the potential career. But I'd love to see him and give it a shot in the NFL. I think he fits what the NFL is today, Mel. I think he'd be a first-round pick.
Yeah, you look at that, too, as far as the success that Lamar Jackson has shown early. Maybe that would help Kyler. It's still a Bo Jackson-type situation. I want to see him do both, Mel.
I'm sitting here in amazement. Todd brings up that Kyler Murray's got this football.
I was going to say, you didn't even respond.
I know, because I thought Peter was, but I was going to just, I was here shaking my head. You were the one. You talk about me splashing things and getting these big with them. You splashed out about Kyler Murray maybe being a football guy when everybody thought Scott Boras and the Oakland A's and Billy B was locked in. You're the one brought up that Kyler Murray, hey, it's not necessarily a lock that he's going to be with the Bay. He could be with football. That opened up everybody talking about
Lincoln
Kyler Murray.
Riley
you did,
said
Todd,
that they
as a pro prospect.
They had not made a decision. Lincoln Riley told us that and said that they were going to sit down at the end of the season.
But you're the one brought all that up.
I was just reporting what I heard.
Gentlemen, I know it's draft season right around the corner when you two are yelling at each other. It's the NFL primer. It's over there for the draft over at ESPN.com. Congratulations on the nice tan, Todd. Mel, get back into the study and start studying.
It's Windburn from Idaho, buddy.
There's still sun there. All right, great stuff, gentlemen. All right, we got a lot more coming up on College Football Live, including Clemson Tiger to Missouri Tiger. Why did Kelly Bryant choose Barry Odom squad? We'll tell you about that more coming up next on College Football Live. And Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 28th Annual Home Depot College Football Awards. Chris Fowler hosts with Lee, Kirk, Dez, Tom Rinaldi, and Maria Taylor. You can always watch it on the ESPN app from anywhere. And Saturday, you know you need the ESPN app because I don't know who wins this thing. The 84th Annual Heisman Trophy Ceremony from New York City. Is it going to be Tua? Will it be Kyler? Maybe even Dwayne Haskins? As always, catch it on the ESPN app from everywhere. The Heisman Trophy Ceremony, Saturday at 8.
Arkansas, Mississippi State, North Carolina, Auburn, and Missouri. Those were the final official visits that Kelly Bryant took before deciding where to transfer in the 2019 season. The former Clemson starting QB taking advantage of that new NCAA four-game red shirt. He chose the Missouri Tigers, Greg McElroy. Well, you figured he was going to go to the SEC, but you said you were surprised that it went with those Tigers. What other Tigers are you talking about?
I got to be honest. He chose these Tigers. I thought he was going to choose these Tigers.
Oh,
I was very surprised. I did not realize that Missouri was such a serious player here, but when I started to look a little more into it, it made sense because clearly Missouri has been working their way in this direction. They do a nice job in their RPO game, and they did a really good job with Drew Locke over the last couple of years developing him. Now, Derek Dooley clearly must have said something to Kelly Bryant that made that antenna go up, but I thought for sure he was going to go to Auburn and kind of infuse his way into that offense that Gus Malzahn has had so much success with.
Well, you've got a combination of receivers and running backs coming back. I think Missouri's got a better group to surround him with. I think that might have been part of it. Also, keep this in mind that over at Alabama, quarterback coach Dan Enos has done wonders to help Jalen Hurts become a much better passer this year than he was last year. And I think Derek Dooley can do the same thing for Kelly Bryant. Derek Dooley has a lot of experience in the NFL. He's a very good quarterback coach, and I think those things factored into it.
And he plays in the SEC East, and their crossover schedule this year, Arkansas and Ole Miss. Good for the scheduling for Mizzou. All right, good for the scheduling for Oklahoma State. Well, it depends if you're an Oklahoma City radio show host, because how about this, guys? Mike Gundy, when he heard that someone had bet $250, Trevor Maddich, when they did not perform to the 8-win season, he wrote him a check to reimburse him.
And you can tell he wrote a check to the right guy. That they redacted the routing number and the account number on that check. That's a smart guy if you're going to send a check to it. Make it a smart guy like that.
I love it. I mean, this is just Mike Gundy. Hey, thank you for believing in us. Your favorite coach, Mike Gundy. The letter was epic. And the fact that he paid him back, you know what? He does owe him one. He does. And honestly, I had higher hopes for Oklahoma State this year, too. I thought they'd win 8 games. I'd like a check. You guys want a check? I'm good with this.
I want a check. Yeah, I want a check, guys. But
go ahead.
With Greg McElroy's bank account numbers. That's all we want, Maddich. And then you and I, we can split all the money because he's worth $17
million. It's gone.
His bank account numbers are longer than most of ours.
Cut that check. Thanks for watching College Football Live.